podcast is part of the Sports Social Podcast Network.
It takes a lot of ingredients to fix or build a car, like cooking, but without the frozen dinner, easy way out. eBay Motors has 122 million parts. It's always the right fitment, so you can follow any recipe to a T. Whether it's a vintage Italian coupe that's classic like grandma's meatballs or a German luxury car that's as complicated as Oma's rouladen, to cook up something great in the garage, use the eBay Motors app or visit ebaymotors.com. Let's ride.
Rafael Benitez is the new Everton manager. Not a sentence I think any of us really thought we'd be saying this summer, but just about a month on from Carlo Ancelotti walking out on the football club to join Real Madrid, Everton have got the man. He's a former Liverpool man and he's a highly decorated man, but it is a very controversial one. Joining me to have a chat about this appointment, Dave Downey and Rob Vera. Dave, I will come to you first, mate. What's your reaction to all this now? It's rubber stamped and he has been anointed as the man.
Well, in many ways, it's because it's what everyone expected now after, I don't know, several hundred interviews, as we hear in the press, that they conducted with Rafa Benitez and other candidates, and the conjecture regarding him. It's actually nice to have it rubber stamped, Matt, and be able to now get on with, you know, the more important things like the recruitment, like fixing this squad that's in a pretty sorry state, isn't it? That with Carlo Ancelotti leaving and the way in which we ended last season. I think, you know, we knew it was going to happen. I think all of us have known for quite some time, such as the leaks we get from the reliable sources lead up to this. I'm just glad it's done. It's over the line now. And, you know, if people are going to spit the dummies out and things like that, I'd rather they do it as soon as possible so we can crack on with the actual business of getting the football club into some sort of decent position where we can go and attack next season. And then, look, I said a similar thing, and I'm not comparing the two, but I said a similar thing when Sam Allardyce was appointed. There's a terrific opportunity here. I think a lot of us, I think a lot of this gets lost in the nonsense that goes on around our football club. You know, your opening statement there, Matt, which was very accurate about, you know, Carlo Ancelotti left, I think, at the start of June. We're on the verge of appointing a manager at the end of June. If I'd have said to you 2 years ago, those two individuals would be Carlo Ancelotti and Rafael Benitez, you know, you'd be wheeling me away in a straitjacket. That's the way in which this club operates these days. The outrageous is the norm, I suppose. And by that, I'm trying desperately not to get caught up with any sort of hyperbole here. This is a guy that's come in. He's got vast knowledge and experience of the game. Remains to be seen whether that can translate from several years ago when he was in his pomp. You know, maybe there's a bit of an Indian summer for him, and he rises to the occasion and takes Everton forward, and all of the vitriol that we've seen, all of the nonsense, all of the stupid bed sheets and spray paint, vandalism and abuse directed at him. You know, maybe he can rise above that and ultimately take this club forward. It's one hell of a task. It's one hell of a job. But from his side, as it was with Sam Allardyce, it's a magnificent opportunity. I think we forget that when this is a vacancy, if you're a football manager, say for instance, it's a great job to come up in any of our industries that we all work in. If there was an Everton equivalent of that, it'd be a fantastic opportunity that everybody would be jumping for. And I'm pretty sure Benitez sees this as that very same thing, as this being a fantastic opportunity to get a manager at a decent level in the Premier League and see how far he can go. And I think if we keep that sort of perspective, then I think we'll be okay. I think he'll be okay. I can't see him being any worse. I don't think we have a squad that is in any imminent real danger. I think what many reasonable issues people have taken this stance with is because they want the here and now. How many times have we said it? Everyone wants Champions League football. Everyone wants a trophy. Look, let's be realistic. The likelihood of that happening immediately with any manager is pretty slim. The chances of it are pretty slim. So I'm more than happy to see what happens here. There's a blank canvas for everybody. Yeah. And let's see how well he can paint a picture that you know, isn't red, and a picture that isn't steeped with banners on the cop. Do you know what I mean? Let's turn the bed sheets into blue bed sheets and support for the guy, because I tell you what, he's going to need it. I don't know if he's going to need it, but the team is going to need it. So
yeah, absolutely.
I suppose the message I'd be encouraging fans to do, and I'm in no position to dictate what anybody else thinks, but give it a chance. It's definitely not going to work. And if you're a fan that sat there hoping that it doesn't work because you hate this man so much, then why are you really involved? Do you know what I mean? Why are you bothering? You want this football club to succeed. I certainly do, at any cost now. Because, you know, approaching sort of 40 years old in a few years' time. And I don't want to be sat there saying, well, you know, look what we could have had there if we hadn't hounded a certain manager out, because he simply did something for another football club that happens to be our biggest rival. So, as far as I'm concerned, he gets a clean slate, the same as any other manager that comes in, and we see what happens. You know, invariably it's ended in disaster under the last few. Look, the likelihood is that something along those lines happens again. That's just the way Everton seem to do things, but I won't be giving him any more or less of a chance or derogatory opinion before he's even started. I think that's the point I want to emphasise.
Rob, how about you, mate? How do you feel?
I'm just wondering if he's going to get his Christmas photos right, unlike some of his predecessors.
You know? Do you know what, Rob? Just before you answer that question, I do actually wonder, I think it'd be hilarious if he went the other way. Like, you know, massively went over the top with blue stuff. Do you know what I mean? And there's photos of the house painted blue. There's photos of blue baubles on Christmas trees, blue cars, everything. Yeah.
He's got to have a blue tie on, hasn't he, in his first press conference?
Yeah, I mean, that would boil the piss right well and truly, wouldn't it?
Well, if you're going to do this thing, there's going to have to be probably some performative symbolism that accompanies it, right? Like he's gonna have to lean into it, because I think the one thing I've probably been asking myself all throughout this, beyond the questions of why Everton are doing this and why is Farhad Moshiri doing this, I've been wondering why is he doing this? What is the incentive for someone like him, who certainly is not in need of more money and certainly has accomplished so much of what any great historical manager would want to accomplish? Like, why would he be up for this? And so to that point, Dave, I think he's going to probably lean into a lot of that kind of stuff, because he knows he's got to, you know, in some ways sell it, but in other ways, part of the package with Rafa Benitez is, if you believe what you hear, and I've certainly listened to the Steve Huddersall interview, Chris Hennage. I think that anyone like me who has been skeptical of this should go and listen to those interviews. I don't know that it's going to just change your mind. I'm not sure that my mind has changed, but I will say that the thing that I've ultimately thought about recently, as we've gone through this, is the concept of processing. And I know that you guys know, not only from just hearing it from me, but from others, how itchy we were for this to just, quote, you know, be done with. And why are Everton dragging this out or what have you? And I'll be damned if the amount of time that has been given to me or afforded to me through them, quote, dragging it out, has enabled me to actually process this a bit more. I've definitely gone through all the stages. I've tried to do so as publicly as possible on social media, so that I wouldn't be one of these people who could deny my previous thoughts later. Look, I'm still obviously not sold that this is the smartest or best appointment given the context, and not just the Liverpool thing, but the very legitimate concerns about his performance as a manager over the last decade or so, all of the caveats. But I will say that, having had more time to kind of go through the range of emotions and to kind of consider what the implications of all of this entails, I think that's probably helped me to at least come to a stage of some acceptance. And I'm probably now more in line with Dave than I thought I would be a couple of weeks ago, in that I don't know that ultimately I'm any more or less upset about this appointment than I would be about any other. And therefore, I'm willing to probably give him as much a chance as I gave to any of the other managers. I mean, I've talked at length, and Dave brought up the idea that now we can kind of get on with the business of the football club and recruitment and those things that really matter. I've really been of the opinion, and if you listen to The Kick About, Mark and I have talked a lot about the fact that while the manager is an important and critical component to all this, it is not the magic bullet. It is not the messiah. It is not the, you know, the one thing that will just solve everything. Everton have a lot of things to solve as a club, but ultimately you give a handful of managers, competent players, more pace, a better midfield, and I think that we're going to see better results. I think as it pertains to processing as well, I will say too that the Carlo Ancelotti exit was so jarring and jolting. I don't know that we really had much time to process that as a fan base, and therefore it really, you know, caused certain reactions to this that I think were a little more pronounced. You know, we went from really loving this manager despite the evidence in front of us, despite the, let's be frank, guys, very unacceptable form from the turn of the calendar forward. And I think that we began to justify a lot of that. And we wanted to have faith that, hey, he'll get better players and he'll turn it around. Well, he's gone now. And this is the guy that clearly wants this job. And I do fear for the things that Matt has talked about in regards to how many losses on the bounce is it going to take before the patience wears thin. Will it be a quicker trigger from the Goodison fan base than it would have been for anyone else? I think that is yet to be seen, but this has been a real odyssey this summer, and especially as we are seeing news that Nuno is about to accept a job at Spurs. I think it's just what a weird, freakish summer this has been. And once again, whatever Everton seems to lack on the pitch in terms of entertainment, they certainly seem to make up for in terms of the off-season or close-season entertainment. So I'm willing to – I'm not thrilled about all this, but I'm also definitely now more in a let's take a wait-and-see approach to all this as we go forward.
Yeah, I think that's sort of where most people are with it now. It's not being happy with it, but understanding that, you know, nothing's to be gained really from just saying, you know, I'm going to stop supporting the team or I'm going to start slagging the manager off because of his past connections. But I think for me, and I've sort of been round in circles this a little bit, that the reason why I don't think this will work, and you both said it there in regards to, you said it, Rob, the Liverpool thing's not really an issue. Dave, we spoke yesterday with Alan on Subs Weekly about how the Liverpool thing's not an issue for any of us really. I think we can sit here and I'll say that, and we can take a step back from that. But it is an issue. There's no getting around that. Us three can sit here on a Zoom call and talk about this not being an issue for us, but it's a massive thing, and it's going to be a massive thing not just for our fans, as some of them have already shown with banners which make reference to cop fights and stuff like that. It's going to be a huge issue for the media. It's the first time ever, first time fixed since the late 19th century that any manager has been in charge of Liverpool and Everton. It's going to be a massive issue for the media that he called Everton a small club again, which is not something which we can all sit here and say, you know, I'm really fuming at him still. The first derby, you know, all of these sorts of things, his first press conference is going to be asked about it. The fact that he is a former Liverpool manager is not something that we're going to be allowed to forget about. And people who may be on the fence about that, they're not going to be able to forget about it either, because it's going to be drilled in at every press conference, every story about this over the next few days. Every time we play Liverpool in a derby, his first derby at Goodison, his first time going back to Anfield, his banner on the cop, all the stuff that Reds are going to be saying about it. This is going to stay a thing. It's not just going to go away because we think it might go away. And that's going to colour the narrative, and it's going to colour the perception of Rafael Benitez, I think, very early in his Everton tenure. And anything... I think anything negative that can happen with a manager early on is going to be amplified 10 times because of this. And it just gives him such a small amount of room to manoeuvre early on. And that can be down to the fact that you don't think he's a good manager anymore, which is sort of where I'm at. But for a lot of people, it'll be down to the fact that this is a former Liverpool manager, and you're not going to be allowed to forget that. And it's going to get tiresome. It's going to get grating. We're going to have, you know, I'm sure already after this has been announced, there's been a countless amount of head pattern tweets from Red journos and Red high profile Red fans and former Liverpool players about how if Everton give him a chance, then it might just work out. But, you know, those pesky fans are horrible. But as much as I think we can all sit here and say the Liverpool connections are not a factor for us, it's being honest, it's a massive thing, and it's something that's going to colour the entire time that he's at this football club, whether it's 6 months or 6 years.
Matt, I want to say that I agree with that wholeheartedly, from the standpoint that when I brought this up and when this whole idea was brought up initially, I kept asking myself, why would Farhad Moshiri push through an appointment that has such a narrow path to success, given what the inevitable blowback will be, or the inevitable pitfalls and the media framing and all these things are going to be. It just seems like a distraction that he'll have to constantly deal with. Now, having said that, they've pushed through and done it. It's done, right? So the question then becomes, what is the opportunity here? Like, I think that you make a good point that there are just going to be a segment of fans and that don't feel they're going to be able to move on from this. So I think two things are important here. A, we have an opportunity to get off to a pretty decent start given the fixtures. I know that is, there's no more cursed saying than that when we look at the fixtures and talk about the opportunity, but I'm just going to address that right now. I mean, I think if you're going to get the manager in before the Euros are done, get to work, get going, get things in order. I mean, I think that's the opportunity, is they've got to start well, and that's going to buy him a little bit of time and to build something. But I think the second thing is a bigger thing. I think this is maybe the opportunity, given what you just said, Matt, for us to consider the way in which we begin to identify ourselves and evaluate ourselves based solely on us, based solely on the performance of the club, and really take a step back from making it about, and I know no one wants to admit that we do this, but sometimes when we allow ourselves to fall into those traps of enabling someone's some banter or some ribbing from fans, from a rival set of fans to really knock us off of our game, I think that becomes an issue that is largely about our reaction more than it is about their actions. I think that we have got to begin establishing what it looks like when Everton earn the right through their performance to actually have more aspirational expectations, as opposed to worrying about what some other fan set of fans says about us. I mean, I think that Rafa Benitez clearly is taking this job with the idea in mind that Everton are going to have to not only perform, but perform pretty well, because he knows what the narrative will be. He knows what the reactions are going to be, and clearly doesn't care. He sees a path forward, even if we can't see it. I don't know that I believe him, but I also think that that's at least the idea. But at a certain point, and again, I always grant you, Matt, when we have these discussions, that I have the privilege of living thousands of miles away and not having to deal with neighbors and family members who are going to constantly be in my ear about these things. I get that I have that privilege, but at the same time, I do think that it's time at some point for us to begin to, you know, not worry so much about what everyone else is doing. And it's not just Liverpool. It's every time there's a signing from another team, it's always about what we're not doing, and those things are easy to traps to fall into. But I think that we have got to have a manager that is, if he's as cold and ruthless as we all hear, it's now about identifying. And I think Alan talked about this yesterday. I think he was talking about the Carragher doing a podcast about, Liverpool versus Everton's mentality or the way that they approached football back in the, in the mid 2000s, and what the differences were. And I think that's what we've got to firmly establish here. That identity is not just a playing identity, but it's ultimately an FU identity. It's ultimately we're going to do this on our own and have a tight mentality that's about us and not others. And I think that until Everton can really fundamentally do that and change the culture here, we're not going to move forward. And maybe, just maybe, it's going to take a manager that this many people are skeptical of to kind of unite the fan base in a strange way. But I don't know. I'm just looking for those avenues. And I think that's kind of where we're at.
Dave, it'd be interesting to get your thoughts on that as well. But also, just sort of moving this on a little bit and away from that side of things, do you think Everton are getting a good football manager right now, ultimately?
I think it's a difficult question to answer. And it's where I probably disagree with you and Mike and other people that we talk to on the show regularly. Is that you simply don't know. You can only go off evidence that we've seen, and that is, yeah, he massively flopped in China. Now, I don't know what sort of comparisons you can make and similarities there are between the Chinese Super League and the Premier League. I'm not sure at all. You know, he equated to something like horse racing. You have jockeys who prefer riding horses over fences. You have jockeys who prefer riding on the flats. It's the way it works. They're still jockeys, but it's different. Do you know what I mean? It's a different part of the game. We've seen it before. Managers from abroad who've excelled in leagues abroad come to the Premier League completely flopped. You look at the Dutch manager that's just been sacked. You know, it's not cast in stone. And I think that's where I've seen the worst in people. I'm not talking about you, obviously, but I've seen the worst in people who've been so vociferous in their opposition to this that they're not even willing to give it a chance and think, you know what, maybe it'll be different. I think, you know, I think we're all old enough, ugly enough, and hopefully wise enough between the three of us on this pod to be able to say life doesn't always pan out as you expect it. In fact, it very rarely does. And that's what the perspective I'm looking at that, you know, is going to be with Benitez. Obviously, in hope more than expectation, because your level-headed view, Matt, and I'm not putting words in your mouth, will be on his recent experiences, whatever that's been, whether it's been with China, in Napoli, Inter Milan, pretty much all of the jobs he's been at since he was in the, not just with Newcastle, because that's a different kettle of fish in itself, but also Liverpool. Is that CV since those days, since his heyday, in inverted commas, is that enough for you to not be able to accept that he could still be good? Or do you look at it and think, do you know what? It worked once, as football completely bypassed him. And well, are we just going to, you know, the thing is, I don't want to be somebody who sits there and makes that sort of generalization or an overwhelming judgment until I've seen what he can do. Now, he hasn't been in the Premier League for a while. Maybe he's learned things. Maybe he hasn't. We know, I think this is a massive bonus for him. We know he's a student of the game. He absolutely loves it. The work that I did with him, the work with Steve Hoddesall did with him, he is an obsessive about football. That, to me, would indicate with him employing a man who's quite intelligent. Although I think many of his peers would question why he would take the Everton job if he does hold such intelligence, just to be quite funny about that. But if he is of that ilk, then you would think, well, maybe he knows what he's doing. Maybe he knows how he needs to evolve from those years gone by. I think there's a really interesting comparison to make between him and David Moyes. I mean, how many times has he been linked with the Everton job in previous years? We've completely dismissed him as a footballing dinosaur. And then you look at what he went and did at West Ham last season. I'd like to believe, and maybe that's the romantic in me with a small r, that is an aptitude to be able to change, and that managers can reinvent themselves and can bring themselves forward to football in 2021. Again, like I say, the likelihood is that doesn't happen, but it doesn't mean it can't happen.
No, I think that's fair, but I think as well, it's, for me, it's just another potential pitfall in all this, because you sort of said there, Dave, as the game passed him by a little bit, and I think if you're taking the Liverpool stuff out of it, which might make him fail, and you know, all the other things that we've spoken about already, one thing that managers often get grace for early on is if they're trying to instill a progressive and modern and exciting brand of football. But if you,
but do we know he's not going to do that? Do we know he's not going to?
Well,
do
even
that?
even the teams, the good teams he's had, they never played that.
Are we
sort
built
of
for that? I mean, are we really built to be able to do that? Even if we wanted to, right?
No, but
now?
Well, that's another excellent point. That's the other side of the coin. You know, it's not just Rafa Benitez here. And I know, in many ways, I bet you the players are sitting there absolutely rubbing their hands together, thinking, "Wow, here's somebody who's come along and immediately taken the heat off us." Is anybody talking about Gylfi Sigurdsson? We need to get rid of him, or Alex Iwobi. I haven't seen much of that lately since all of this has come about with Rafa Benitez. I tell you what, if you're one of the Everton players who've let this club down in recent years and you're still at the football club, you're sitting there thinking, wow, do you know what? I've got off lightly here.
Dave,
I understand at the same time that's a burden on Benitez. I understand that that's another sack of coal to lump on his shoulders. I understand that. But I tell you what a set of bollocks he's got on him to take this job on. You have have to say that. I mean, it is immensely brave for him to come and manage this football club, some of the levels of toxicity that we've seen so far.
Well, Dave, if he is not the, like, there's a lot I don't like about this hire, but at the very least, I expect him to be the cold, hard-ass coach that has been advertised, because what I realize as time has gone on is that Carlo loves the manager life. He loves kind of being a famous manager, but I don't know that he really was as into managing day to day as I would have liked. Whereas I have serious questions to Matt's point about Rafa's abilities or his outlook on football, maybe, but and those are certainly there to be answered. But I expect this to be a less comfortable environment at Finch Farm. It needs to be. There's way too much casualness. There's got to be a balance there. It doesn't need to be all cold, all rigid, all sad all the time either, but there's got to be a more competitive, more dare I say punitive environment. When players don't play well, they shouldn't play. I have yet to see that. And when you mention someone like Gylfi Sigurdsson, it triggers me, because I think, well, this is just another manager who's going to think he looks great on the training ground and play in 38 games. But I don't know. I mean, that's what has yet to be seen. The things that, now that the decision has been made, I care now more about what players are going to be brought in. What is a general system and structure and framework going to look like for how they play? And third, and we don't talk about this a lot, are we going to get these players fit? I'm talking about not just fit in terms of staying on the pitch, but I'm talking about not looking gassed with 10 or 15 minutes left to go in games. I mean, we need more of those things. And if Benitez can bring some of that and we can win games we're supposed to win, and I'm willing to give this a chance, but hopefully there are some significant differences between the last manager and this one.
In many ways, though, sorry, guys, and to Rob's point there, that is the exact point I think a lot of people are missing in all this, is at the end of the day, people can scream, shout, make banners, do whatever it is they feel as if is necessary. You know, some of it embarrassing, some of it not, whatever floats your boat with that sort of thing. But where this works, or if it doesn't, and where it sails, or if it doesn't, is in how he's given that support. And that, for me, is a much bigger issue that's gone under the radar here. Because, look, at the end of the day, whoever's the manager of Everton, there's so many issues above that that need to be rectified in order to give any manager a chance. The conjecture that goes with Benitez ultimately is worthless, because the only way he succeeds is by having a well-oiled machine behind him, i.e. Marcel Brands, and anybody else who's involved in the day-to-day running of that football club.
But he hasn't got that, has he, Dave? We know he's not.
No, that's the point. That's exactly it. That is why ultimately I don't think he's going to succeed. It's not going to be due to his managerial acumen, like many others would suggest. I think it'll be because there's still not an effective leadership model behind him. Brands, still, to me, the jury's very much out. I think he's done some all right stuff in the transfer market. I think he's done poor stuff in the transfer market. But the most emphatic thing you can say about him to this day right now, what, 3.5 years on since he's been here, is we don't actually know what he does and to the extent in which he does it. And that will forever be a massive issue until they decide to do it properly. How many times have I said on this podcast about the director of football model not being what Everton think it is? And that is what will do for Benitez, in my opinion. And you know, we can sit here and argue till the cards come home about, you know, how good he is as a manager these days compared to what he was like 10, 15 years ago, whatever it is. That is purely subjective. That is our own opinions on that. The fact of it all is, we've seen managers fall on their sword simply because they haven't had that infrastructure in place to enable them to succeed. Now, how is recruitment going to work this time? Is it going to be driven by Marcel Brands, or is it going to be Rafa Benitez has the final say. And the interesting thing about this, I'm not sure if Steve touched upon this with you, Matt, on or off air, is the issues he had at Liverpool in terms of getting funds for transfers. He was quite critical of falling out with owners and stuff like that. Correct. And then they had the whole takeover thing with Hicks and Gillette and all that stuff. I think he's had that issue at other clubs as well. Certainly with Mike Ashley, of all people. That is the bigger crux of the problem here. That is exactly what is at the root of it for me. Not fan acceptance or anything like that. Because I tell you something, you could hire any manager in the world. You know, you can go and get Bill Shankly, you could go and get Steven Gerrard from Rangers, the most hated and divisive manager in the world, from Liverpool Football Club, to manage this one. What does not change is how they're supported and how they do this job. And it is not going to work with anyone, Benitez or Ancelotti or anyone else, unless they get that sorted. And from the start, that has been my main concern, is I'm not too bothered who the manager is, which many people might well, you know, turn the noses up at me saying that sort of thing. But it doesn't matter who that manager is, because the bigger problem and the bigger issue that is still yet to be rectified, £500 million down the line, is how this football club is run and how it treats its managers, how it supports them, and how the recruitment model and academy are run. And I've yet to see evidence of that being suffice for any, and an environment where any manager can thrive. And that is why I don't want Rafa Benitez as Everton manager, but at the same time, I don't have an extreme opinion on that, because I think there are bigger problems.
Mm-hmm. Well, and by the way, the last thing I'll say, guys, the fact that this many years into Marcel Brand's stay here, that we are unclear about what his specific remit is. It's an active choice that Everton Football Club have made to not make that clear to us, because the question's been asked. It gets asked all the time.
He's on the board.
Yeah, he's on the board. And so they imply a lot of things in terms of his influence. But what we end up doing is we fill the gaps of the unknown with our own narrative about, well, this is a Brands player. That's not. Clearly, this is someone that he wanted, or, you know, and Brands ends up skating a lot, because we attribute a lot of the decisions we don't like to, you know, whoever not Brands is, right? Like, I think that that's where, at a certain point, Marcel Brands, who despite the narrative about him being held prisoner, signed a 3-year extension, needs to at some point clarify what the role will be with Rob. I would love to see him do it, but I doubt it'll happen. I would like to hear them explain how they're going to put, you know, recruit players. I'm sure we'll get some squishy definition of, well, you know, we're all working together on this.
Business talk. Yeah,
business talk. But ultimately, I don't mind. The manager should have input, even with a director of football. Mm-hmm. But ultimately, I don't want to think that it's this player is all this guy and this player is all that, because that is a completely bifurcated, approach to things that, Matt, you've talked about extensively as something that probably can't work and is not sustainable. And it's proven out that when you have these diverging philosophies, the diverging philosophies that manifest themselves in working on two different paths at the same time, it just doesn't work. And so that's what I want to see. But ultimately, Everton make the decision every day not to explain how their setup works. And we can't continue to fall for our own convenient narratives around it. We need to begin demanding the actual clarity before we can criticize what the setup is with full knowledge.
Yeah, I think it's...
I do. Sorry, Matt. I was just going to say, I do wonder who the sort of alpha is in that relationship now, because in Ancelotti, the dynamic was, and I think I'm pretty accurate in saying this, that he could pull rank on anything and sort of veto a transfer that he didn't like, or indeed say, I want this player, Marcel wants that player, I'm going to have my say. I wonder what level of compromise we'll have seen in Benitez getting this job, and the allowances they'll have afforded him, and the ones that he'll have been able to say to the football club, okay, I have to accept this, otherwise I'm not going to get this job. I think that'll be fascinating when it comes out in the wash. Indeed, we might not get to know. We didn't get to know about other managers and who was in control of recruitment and stuff like that. But yeah, I mean, you could go and put a poll out on the Blue Room right now. What do you think of Marcel Brands? And you'll get, 70, 80% of people saying, I think he's really good. I just don't think he's been given a chance at the football club. And you'll get others who will say he's atrocious, the recruitment he's done is appalling, and we don't have an academy, each of which has validity to those arguments. But we don't even have, or we don't have much evidence by way of making a conclusive judgment on him 3 years into this job. That, to me, is a bigger, much bigger than any managerial appointment.
Yeah, I think it's going to be, not seeing any of this yet, but it's going to be really interesting, I think, to see who does the sort of accompanying quotes with the announcement and who does the interview, the accompanying interview. It's going to be Brand.
I presume it'll be a statement from Denise, some nice little words from Marcel Brands, internal club interview, and we won't see a press conference from him until the week prior to the Premier League season beginning, or very, very little media to that point. I think we'll see a lot of Marcel Brands over the summer and other club figureheads, but I don't think we'll see a lot from him. I think, and that'll benefit him, I think, if he's able to get down to work, you know, try and make the transition as easy as possible without any sort of interference from banners and whatnot, and he makes it about the football. He's a football Puritan. If he's left to his own devices and he's left to work, that's the best environment in which he'll thrive, and let's see how good he is.
Yeah, probably a good place to finish there. Let's wait and see. But yeah, weird feeling today. But yeah, Rafael Benitez is the new Everton manager. Loads to come. The interviews the lads mentioned there with Steve Hoversall and Chris Innes, they are available on the Blue Room Extra, patreon.com/theblueroomextra if you want to hear those in full. Lots of detail on Benitez, his time at Newcastle and what he's like as a fella. And you get loads of other shows as well. We've got Kickabout coming up tomorrow. Rob always has a go at me for not plugging it on these shows. So there you go, Rob. who's joining you, Mark, tomorrow, or is it just the two of you?
It's just going to be Mark and I, because we're having to record at like 10 o'clock at night over there because of our weird schedules. Mark loves himself a late night Kickabout, so he should be in fine form tomorrow.
He's a nocturnal beast, yeah.
We'll try not to just focus on the manager discussion because, the Euros. And while you guys have been sleeping, there have been some really nice Copa America games too. But Brazil-Colombia game was an epic game. But we'll talk about a lot of different things tomorrow.
There you go. So go listen to that as well. Like I said, if you want to join the Blue Room Extra, patreon.com/theblueroomextra. £1 a week, no fixed contract. You can cancel it, start it whenever you'd like. So hopefully we'll see you over there. But in the meantime, enjoy the rest of your day and we'll catch up with you again soon.
Northern Tool and Equipment isn't just a store. It's a problem solver's paradise. Fully stocked with the right professional grade tools and fully staffed with experts who have the right answers. Problem solved.
Northern Tool and Equipment summer sale is on now. Stop in and save up to 50% on pressure washers, sprayers, generators, fans, lawn and garden equipment, and more. Hundreds of deals in store or at northerntool.com.
Sports Social Podcast Network.